comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Technical difficulties. How are you doing this evening? I hope you're doing okay, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. We're delighted you're here, and I think you're going to be delighted as well. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It is the talk show where you matter. You know, we got K-Files. That's our free weekly newsletter. Tomorrow's K-Files Day. And so if you haven't subscribed, be sure you do. It's absolutely free. And then you won't be in the dark. You know, a lot of the emails that I get are questions about things that we talk about in the K-Files all the time. So I know when I get one of those, I'm dealing with someone who's chosen not to know. Because you can be in on the inside loop of things if you subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. It's absolutely free, and there are no strings attached, and that means that we will be more than happy to send it to you. Simply just subscribe, and then that's it. We don't sell or lease or rent or give away our email addresses, so you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed. So, you know, if you don't want to be sitting out there in the dark asking about things that we've answered already in the K-Files, you know how to cure it. Go to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe to the K-Files. Also, the members area. Wow. The members area is a universe unto itself. I mean, there's so much in there. You get your own profile page. You have friends. You got a friends page. You have your own blog page. You can upload your favorite photos, chat forums, free ebook library, video galaxy, the K-Pods. That's what we call our archives, and so much more. And it's 23 cents a day. You know, since we began the members area, we have not increased the price. How about that? For the entire time we've had the members area, the price has been the same. You can't take 23 cents to any store anywhere and get anything. Try it. About all you'll get is directions to the door. So 23 cents a day, is that really greed? Well, not our greed. Today would be a good time to join, don't you think? We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I've been moving things around here in the studio today for a project I cannot disclose at this time. However, apparently I got some wires crossed, and so some of you were seeing me if you were on our TV channel, but you weren't hearing me. Then some of you, those who are listening by radio or by computers or cell phones, when I first tried to go on the air, my mic worked, but it, for some reason, wasn't feeding into the computer. So you couldn't hear me. My fault for moving things around. I apologize. Tonight, my guest is Walter Bosley. Walter Bosley is a former special agent with U.S. Air Force OSI, and as he has said here on this show before, served as chief of a counterintelligence unit in that capacity. And every once in a while, I try to get Walter to use some of that expertise to kind of analyze some things. Walter, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Kevin. It's always good to be here.
Walter, the thing that I have asked you to take a look at is this video that was shot by some fishermen who happened to be fishing rather close to the Deep Horizon oil rig, many people refer to it as the BP oil rig, that exploded and then sank in the Gulf of Mexico and is responsible now for this gigantic disaster that we have going on. And this particular video, and for those who are watching on our TV channel, I will be sharing that with you. You'll see the video, and you'll see exactly what it is that Walter and I are talking about. For everyone else, I will try to describe it as we see it, okay? But this video is a video of, well, our technical problems still seem to be flickering in and out, but we're going to get through this. This video is a video of the oil rig as there's already been an explosion and fire, and there are two major fires burning on the rig. And what you can see is you can see these two beams, blue beams of light above the oil rig, and they're coming right down into the fires. And I've asked you to take a look at it, and there's been a lot of talk about this, a lot of discussion about this, and a lot of blogs have been written about this. So I wanted you to take a look at it and determine what you thought we're looking at. Now, I don't know for sure which way you're going to go on this, but I want to warn you that whichever way you go, I'm going to take the other side, and we're going to sort of... I'm going to contend for the other side, and I want you to make your points.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what people are seeing now on the video channel, they're seeing this video shot from a fishing boat. Mm-hmm. We're watching the oil rig burn, okay? And this is taken just minutes after the explosion.
Right.
And we can see these beams of light coming down. They're parallel, coming down into the flames. And we can see them reflected on the water, or so it appears. I'm going to let you run with it. Let me say one more thing. Mm-hmm. What has been written about this is that this is proof. This is one thing that's been written about it, that this is proof of some type of Tesla-type technology, scalar weapon technology, blowing up the oil rig. So here you go. That's what we've got, and you've had a chance to view this. What's your take?
Artifact of the video. I do not see a scalar beam weapon, what I see is an artifact of the video.
Okay, why? Why do you think it's an artifact?
Okay, when you look, now I want to say, you know, you say, what are my credentials of this? Well, like anybody who's been alive in the last 40 years, I've looked at a lot of video. Now, beyond that, I'm somebody who's been into filmmaking and you know, is using video technology from the time I was a media tech in high school and on through college, and you know, I make video movies now, okay?
All right.
There's millions out there, so I watch a lot of video, and like everybody else, I've seen a lot of video. If you're alive and you're not blind and you have a TV, you know, or computer, you see video, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost a lifetime of looking at this stuff, all right? Now, what I see is as the camera moves, the blue beams, the alleged blue beams, change in quality and they change in their visual quality as the camera jerks around. And if this were scalar beams, you don't see the flame changing in its quality of intensity as the camera picks it up, because it's an actual burning, raging flame out there on the water. Now, these two beams were also what people say they were, you know, these scalar weapon beams. They wouldn't change in quality with the movement of the camera across that glare of the fire. That glare of the fire is burning so hot visually that it's causing a glare that's showing up as these intense blue ribbons of video artifact. Now, yes, you see them down on the water, but if you notice the reflection of the flames on the water in the frames where you see the water, the flames are greatly distorted by the surface of the water. The blue beams are not. They are not distorted. Okay? And so that, to my eye, that says video artifact. Now, I sent you another video. I don't know if you've watched it or not, but it's I don't know if it's the same guys or different people taking footage, and they are taking footage of the same event, what appears from inside either a vessel, some type of structure, and the camera is shooting from inside and shooting out through a portal or window, you know, something with a frame around it.
Okay.
When you look at that footage, you see the same blue artifact, these blue lines, okay, up and down, and here's the interesting thing. The camera is inside some type of structure shooting through a window or a portal, okay, where outside the frame of that portal, you cannot see what's beyond it. In other words, you can't see the sky, you can't see the sea. It blocks it out. Essentially, you're looking at the inside wall or bulkhead of whatever it is this camera is positioned inside of. And yet, you still see the blue beams all the way to the top and the bottom of the frame. Now, what that right there is the best proof that it is an artifact. If nobody believes any other thing I've said, that right there is the best footage to show and prove that it is an artifact of the video, because the camera is inside. If the blue beams were not an artifact of the video, okay, you would see the blue beams out there in the portion of outside you could see, but then they would be cut off in the portion above the frame of the window where you're getting the interior wall or bulkhead of whatever the structure is that the camera is enclosed in.
All right, let me take the other side of the fence there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to you took the position that it's an artifact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the position that it is not an artifact.
Okay.
And for those of you who have never tuned into the Kevin Smith Show before, you need to understand that after you hear me do this, you will have no idea what I truly think about this. Okay? This is the way debates are done in civil societies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see this too much anymore, but we're going to do it this way. All right, so I'm going to take the position that those are not artifacts.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the evidence of the other video, which I have not seen. I'll be honest about it. But I haven't seen the other video. I'm going to say that proves that this is not an artifact. because the artifact would be peculiar and particular to the camera and to whatever's on the lens, whatever condition and power and clarity that lens has, whatever its focal length is, and whatever contrast it is, the camera is able to pick up. So the artifact would be particular and peculiar to a specific camera. So if it's appearing on another camera, I would say, okay, that's evidence that it's not an artifact, that those beams were there. And if we can see it not cut off by the lower portion of the window, then I would say it's a reflection on the metal surface around the window. And it reflects because it's not an artifact. If it were an artifact, it would not reflect.
2 points there. I'll argue with you.
Okay.
Number one, you may not be right about it being specific to one particular camera, because most of the home video cameras, these things are shot on pretty much the same technology. And so I would disagree that it's specific to the one camera. Now, that said, it could be footage shot by the same guys. One piece of the footage, the second piece of footage we're talking about that I sent to you, could have been a part of what the same guys shot when they were inside their boat and then they went outside their boat. So there you would be right by default because, well, if it's shot by the same guys, then it is the same camera. But still, I argue that it is an artifact of the camera because a reflection on the inside of this bulkhead or wall on the camera side of this portal would be distorted in some way. In some way, to some slight degree, it would be distorted by the shape of that bulkhead or wall, and this is not. When you watch that video, it is straight up and down exactly how it looks on the footage where the camera is outside. So again, that argues to artifact of the camera.
Okay. As a rebuttal point.
Not to mention that the inside wall that I'm talking about appears to be vertical. It's not. It does not appear to be horizontal or angled in a way to pick up a reflection, to have it go, even appear as a reflection straight up and down. It looks too, way too much. It's again, I say, artifact of the camera when you take a good close look at it.
All right, in rebuttal, no two cameras are the same. And unless what you're looking at is video being taken either by the same camera in both cases, or you're looking at video that was taken by the same exact model of camera,
uh-huh,
in almost the same geographical position on the water, you could not reproduce the same artifact. The artifact would differ from camera to camera to camera. In some cameras, you would not have an artifact. In some cameras, you would, and it would be similar, but different color, slightly different color. In some cameras, you would have the artifact of the blue beams, but possibly a starburst effect around it. So it does differ from camera to camera to camera. You cannot generalize and say that the artifact would be produced by all of the cameras because they're all pretty much the same. They're really not all pretty much the same.
I'm going to use the angle from which you're arguing that back at you, because unless you and I see some type of test done on that,
mm-hmm,
then what we'll have to do is agree that neither one of us can then say for sure.
Oh, I can, because I have two different cameras, in fact, three different cameras that I use for this show. And one of them is a Sony, and one of them is a Canon. We'll use those two for example.
Okay.
Both of these cameras are in the same price range, and they have basically the same features. However, I've got the Canon camera in use right now. If I set the Sony camera up in exactly the same position on exactly the same tripod, I cannot use the same lighting. I have to change the lighting because the cameras, although they are about the same age and about the same price range, are manufactured differently and have different lenses, different process, and the light is processed by each of them differently. And that would be true of any video cameras that you put out there.
Okay. Now, did you do a test of photographing the same bright light and to see what you got?
Well, it wasn't a bright light, but I have tried with both of them to photograph exactly the same thing.
Right.
And yes, if you set the light on one of them, for one of them, to get the best possible image, it will not work for the other one. It'll either be way too bright or it'll be way too dark.
Okay, I'm going to go on my lifetime of experience looking at video and messing with cameras, and I'm still going to say that what I'm looking at is an artifact of the video on this rig fire video we're talking about. And I'm going to say that it's possible that the pieces of footage we're looking at were done by the same guys with the same camera. Because remember, these were guys that were out fishing on a boat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As I described, that second piece of footage I sent to you is taken from what appears to me to be the inside of a boat through a boat portal. And I've been around boats. My dad owned one for years. And so I'm familiar with boat portals and bulkheads. And I would argue that, therefore, then it might be, there is a strong possibility here that it is footage from the same camera. So I still, based on what I've seen of the video, I still stand by that it's an artifact of the video.
Okay. Now, whenever, I'll hold up on this because we've got just a few seconds till break. And when we come back from break, I'm going to put a still video, a still picture up showing these beams of light above the fire. And then we'll take a look, and we'll talk about that, and we'll take a look at the beams of light as reflected in the water. And we'll see what we have there. But we have to step away for break, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Bosley and Smith Show. We're talking with Walter Bosley, and he's taking one side of the debate, I'm taking the other, on this video that came out. It's not about the oil rig explosion. It is the oil rig exploding and burning. And so he says that these two blue beams that we see coming down on the rig are an artifact of the video. I've taken the other position. I was prepared to do either side, and whichever side he wound up on, I was going to take the other side. And so I'm saying it's not an artifact, and I'm going to present my case for why it's not an artifact, and he's going to present his case for why it is, and that's what we've been doing. Okay, now, Walter, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show a still photograph of the blue beams above the fire. Now, these are parallel beams. They're straight. They're coming straight down parallel. And if this was an artifact of the video, it would be normal for there to be what is called parallax. Parallax is, if you stand at the foot of a skyscraper and look straight up at it, it has the appearance of the sides angling in toward the top. In art, it's called perspective. These beams do not exhibit parallax. Now, as we look at the still photo, we can see some rays of light that we could say are, in fact, artifact. Not these beams, but we have rays of light that are glaring into the lens of the camera, and we can see those faint rays of light, but what we don't see is any parallax on these two blue beams.
How can I see these photos, this photo?
Well, if you were watching the show right now, you'd be seeing it.
I generally,
Now, these photos are just stills out of the video. So if you see the video, you see the photos.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen the video, and...
And the two blue beams in the video do not angle toward each other as they move upward, which they would do if it was an artifact.
Not necessarily. An artifact of the video, it's going to be straight vertical. It's going to be vertically straight because it is in the camera. Based on my experience looking at video.
Well, now it depends on what you're saying is causing the artifact. Is the artifact being caused because of this amount, the tremendous amount of light that we're seeing from the fire?
Yes, the artifact is being caused because the intensity of the light off the fire, and that's what it's doing in the lens. And whenever I froze the, essentially freezing my own still off the same video, I still say that's artifact of the video.
Okay, now, I'm going to show the video again because I want people to see that the intensity of that light does change. The intensity of the fire is changing. As the fire, we see the flames moving. We don't have a constant intensity. We see the flames moving, and we see at times they back off of the zoom. And when they back off of the zoom, everything gets darker, so we don't have as much light interfering from the fire, because everything, including that fire, gets darker when they back away from it with the zoom. But when they do that, the two blue beams are constant in their luminosity.
Not in every shot.
Okay, I'm going to watch it all the way through. I see every time we back off of the flames, the intensity of the light going into the camera is far less, but the intensity of the blue beams is not. In fact, when we back away, the intensity of the blue beams maybe becomes a little bit more clear to us, the blue beams do, once we don't have the light from the fire.
Oh, you're talking about the one or two frames where you don't see the flame but you still see the blue?
I'm talking about like right now, we're backed way away from this fire. And by backing way away from the fire with the zoom, everything out there is dark except that fire. But the fire is no longer lighting up the whole frame.
Right. But you still have a very intense point of light that still can cause artifacts of video.
What kind of artifact of video would you call it? It's not a lens flare.
It's a glare. It's like a lens flare. Yeah, it's very much like a lens flare.
With a lens flare, the shape of the flare is either going to be elliptical, or the shape of this artifact is going to be parallax. They're going to run at angles from the fire moving upward. They run at an angle toward each other, but they don't.
Why do you say that?
Because the lens is round, and any kind of a lens flare has to have either an elliptical or parallax configuration, if it's a lens flare.
Okay, I'm at six at a frame 16 seconds into this.
I'm at 17.
Okay.
I'm at a minute and 17 seconds.
Oh, I'm at 16 seconds.
Okay.
17 seconds. Okay. Let me get into a minute and 17 seconds. I'm at a minute and 20, a minute and 18. Okay.
Minute and 17 seconds. We're backed way away from the fire.
The flame, the light is still very intense, and that's quite an intense light for that lens to be processing. For any lens, you know, really to be, you know, uncovered, unfiltered lens to be processing like that. And
okay, but if we are looking at a lens flare, why is it parallel instead of elliptical or parallax, and why does it go directly down into flames when just above the flame we see a puff of explosion, of smoke or gas exploding just above the flame? It doesn't in any way affect this flare. And that's a change in luminosity right there that should affect that if that's a flare.
The most intense source of the flare, of the light, is in the heart of that fire that's burning. Sure, if you get the occasional kaboom a little bit to the left or a flare-up of the flame a little bit to the right, you know that there's going to be some light there. But the burning hottest light intensity in the object that's being photographed is what's causing this particular flare. So it's going to be keying off that particular flare.
You can get a straight up and down kind of configuration in a flare if it's part of a starburst effect. But if it's not, and we don't see a starburst effect here, we see two beams of light. Okay, so it can be one of the rays of a starburst, but there is no starburst here.
Well, I've seen video artifacts that are vertical like this. I've seen it.
Where?
I mean, this is not so. It's through years of looking at video. I mean, when you pass a camera over, you know, a bright light, I've seen that. I've seen vertical.
Okay. Now, if this were just a still shot, there might be some validity to your side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on a boat here, and what's happening is it's bobbing up and down, and as it bobs up and down, its position relative to what's causing what you're saying is an artifact, its position relative to the cause is moving, it's changing. And that artifact ought to be changing too, but it isn't.
Not necessarily. Is the flame changing in intensity? Nope.
Sure it is. Sure, I'm watching it flare up right now.
You're watching it flare up, but what I'm saying is look at the heart of that fire, where it's the brightest point. Its brightness is not changing. Its shape and its edges might be changing, but the heart of that burning fire, the white heat of it, the way it's visually picked up, that intensity is not changing. So therefore, it's going to have a steady effect on the lens. Now, I still argue that as you see that camera move horizontally, you notice that the blue beam loses some intensity, particularly the thing that appears to be a blue beam on the left. As the camera moves a little bit, it kind of goes away. Well, that right there is also evidence of artifact of the video. Now, if you go to the video that I sent you, okay, you will see what I'm talking about regarding this portal, okay?
There's no way I can go to that. I didn't get it in time to get it loaded up in the software.
Oh, okay. Well, what I'm looking at, if somebody wants to go there, I'm going to I'll give you the link here. I want to get to the frame.
I can tell you that I do see the quality of the beam change as the camera moves, but if you will notice, it is because when the camera moves, we get a lens flare that interrupts our view of the beam.
Okay, the link I'm talking about, and I'll give it right now for the listeners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's YouTube, so you know all the HTTP, blah, 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 YouTube.com/. Okay, after the YouTube.com/, it's watch, WATCH, ?, V as in Victor, an equal sign, UJZK, A, U, S as in Sam, Q, Z, 3, Y. If you will go to that, those of you who listened and wrote it down, if you'll go to that, and you go to 1:30 into the 8-minute and 9-second video and freeze it there, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. The camera is clearly on the inside of something, shooting out through an open portal or through a window or whatever, and that blue beam is intense, the so-called blue beam, but it's intense above the frame of the interior of the bulkhead frame, that the frame, the bottom of this framing window of the portal, cuts off the outside view at the top of the burning rig, and at the bottom obscures, you know, what's the sea beyond. There's like a bucket or some kind of cooking pot or something there, but the blue beam is very intense where the camera is, okay, on the side of these objects in this portal I'm describing, where the camera is. This blue artifact, okay, is intense, and you would not be able to see the blue go above where the flames cut off by the frame of the window or the opening, and you would not be able to see the blue beam on the camera side of the cooking pot, which is obscuring part of the outside. Those should not be visible.
Walter, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Right, welcome back to the Bosley Smith debate about this video showing what appears to be two blue beams of light coming down on top of that oil rig. The Bosley side of the debate is that those are artifacts of the video. The Smith side of the debate is those are not artifacts of the video. And we will leave it to the audience to decide what they think about this. But I want to remind those who have come in late that this, I let Walter pick which side of this he wanted to take, and I was prepared to take the position opposite, whichever way he chose. And so he's defending what he thinks is the case, and I'm defending the other side. And, Walter, let me say this. Whenever you watch the entire video that I sent you, shot by these fishermen.
I did.
There are places where they zoom away from, as in 1:17, they zoom away from the oil rig. And we can see those two blue beams of light coming down. When they're zoomed in a little bit closer, we can see the reflection of those in the water. But when they zoom back, we don't see them. They disappear because we're too far to see the reflection. If it's an artifact, as you're describing, then those two blue beams should continue all the way down the video frame, whether they're zoomed in or not. And they don't.
No, because when you're zoomed in, the flame is towards the bottom of the frame, and there's not really enough space for,
Okay, well, a medium zoom, because when you can see water and you can see the flame, you can see the blue beams above and see the blue beams reflected in the water. But zoom back away from that, and the reflection in the water disappears. If it is an artifact, it ought to continue straight down the frame.
you know, it you know, artifacts of video do their quirky little things, and I argue that what I'm looking at, you're not seeing a real reflection in the water. What you're seeing is the artifact just kind of over the water and kind of getting mixed in with the video image of what actually is on the water.
And okay.
I still contend there's nothing I've seen there that does not look like a video artifact to me.
All right. We're looking now at a still shot of the reflection in the water. And what you're saying is that what we're seeing is the artifact overlaid over the water.
Yes.
Then why does it disappear? Why does it disappear in the reflection of the fire that we see? Where the fire is reflected, it overlays the beams.
Well, when you look at the image that's not reflected of the fire, you don't see the beam in the fire. It also disappears because the intense source of the heat, of the light, is what's causing the artifact. Within that intense source of light, that's too bright to pick up the artifact. Yeah, I mean, you don't see it when you're looking at the image of the direct image of the light, nor in the reflection, because it's just too intensely bright.
Okay, well, you've just made my argument against your other video, because what you've just described for us is why it cannot be an artifact in the other video either, because however it acts in that other video, if it continues all the way down the frame, that's what we ought to see in the video that we're looking at here online. If the artifact goes from top of frame to bottom of frame, and it goes outside of the window frame in this second video you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
We ought to see that same effect in the video I'm talking about. If it's an artifact, it ought to be the same. But if you argue it won't be the same because they're different cameras, then you've made my first argument when we started the debate, and that is that it cannot be an artifact based on the fact that there are different cameras. So either way you go, you just gave me the debate.
No, not actually.
Come on, Walter.
Nope, because the image of the artifact in the video you're showing on the part where the water is obscured by the activity of the actual reflection on the water. The video, when you look at the video I sent you and that I just gave everybody the link to, what there is a dark background of some type of bucket or cooking pot or something that is obscuring the surface of the water, but yet the artifact that you guys are calling a blue beam, or some people's calling a blue beam, is against the black silhouette of this pot that's between the cameras.
Okay, let's pause right there, and let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let me stipulate that what you are describing is an artifact. It comes right down this pot that is obscuring a view out to the oil well. But the blue beam artifact comes right down through that pot. We ought to be able then to say that if it is an artifact, then it ought to do the same thing. When we look at this video, it ought to come right straight down through the frame. Now, I've got the video stopped at 28 seconds, and we see the beams above. We see the beams reflected in the water, or possibly it's an artifact, and it comes all the way down from top of the frame to the bottom of the frame, as you are describing. However, as we continue, we get to a place in the video where that's not the case. There are places where it does show, there are places where it doesn't show, from top of frame to bottom of frame. And it ought to show, if it's an artifact, as you describe in the other video, it ought to be constant and show from top of frame to bottom of frame.
It is it is showing from top. I'm looking at what you're looking at, and I'm watching it, and it is showing top to bottom.
There's no blue flames in the water where I have it stopped. I mean, no blue beams.
As I said before, as the camera moves around, you know, the artifact does kind of, you know, come and go in intensity. Now, if you go to the video, if you look at the video I sent you.
No, I can't. I can't. That's not even possible. It came in too late.
If the listeners will go to that link and, you know, and someone look at that and call in and you'll see what I'm saying and when you get a chance later, Kevin, to look at it, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's the same blue beam effect, and there's no way that if it were an external space-based weapon laser or some Tesla thing that you would see it the way you see it in this video if it were truly a laser. This video that I have found is better than my words can argue for my point, because with your own eye you can see what I'm talking about.
Okay, we're going to call it we'll call time on the debate. You've presented your evidence, I've presented my evidence, and we're going and when we come back from the next break, we're going to open up the phone lines. We'll let the audience join in and decide what they think about it, and you're not going to hurt my feelings or Walter's. Like I said, I'm prepared to argue either side of this debate tonight. Walter chose his side. I took the other side. However, what do you think about it? We're going to let you tell us whenever we come back from the next break. Walter, this oil rig was sitting on top of a ley line out in the Gulf, wasn't it?
Yeah, it appears so. That's the part that really intrigues me.
What's the deal with that?
We're going to explore that, I guess, after the break.
Okay. Is it a major ley line?
It's one of the major curvilinear ones in that area on the maps that, again, remember, I've had these maps now for 2 years, so it's not like I whipped this map up since this. This is my crinkly, torn around the edges, getting to be kind of worn map that I've been talking about for 2 years. And there's a line that comes south, goes...
Don't give us the details yet.
Right.
We'll get the details when we come back from break, all right?
Got it.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. That's the Bosley-Smith debate. Historic, absolutely meteoric in its scope and in the talent and skill of its participants. And but we've had fun with it, and we'll let you vote which way you think it goes here when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit, though, about that ley line before we open the phone lines. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Pardon me. For those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, you have my sincere sympathy for having missed a whole universe of information in the first hour, and that's not a cliche, it's fact. And my sympathies, I'm sorry you missed it. Walter, when we went away, we were talking about this ley line that where this BP oil well that is now the BP disaster is sitting on top of a ley line, and you were about to tell us about that. So let me get that information, and then we'll open the phone lines.
Okay. Now, those of you who've heard me on the show before, you're familiar with my maps. I've been talking about them for a couple of years now, at least well over a year in most cases. I am looking at one of my curvilinear energy lines that I've talked about, and this one has a termination point, beginning or ending, take your pick, just southeast of Tallahassee, right pretty much smack dab on at a point on Highway 98. And it comes down in a south by west direction, and it splits off and ultimately splits into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. But the northernmost of these energy lines that I'm looking at, it curves, levels off due south of Pensacola, and then continues west and just slightly begins to turn northwest at the tip of the peninsula there that leads up to New Orleans. And we're talking about the peninsula that is, I don't know, it's east of what's called Grand Isle. And that's that farthermost peninsula south of New Orleans. And the Deepwater Horizon rig was located, at 28.3 degrees north by, I believe it's, or no, I'm sorry, 28.7 degrees north by 88.3, I think. It's 28 by 88. And that is, by my estimation, from what I was looking at the map online and my ley line map here, smack on this line I'm talking about that continues up through that peninsula, up just southwest of New Orleans. It continues to curve up west of Baton Rouge, and then turns north and goes north a little ways and then curves a little bit northeast, goes west of Memphis, continues on all the way southeast, just south of Cincinnati, and joins another line somewhere around Portsmouth, Ohio.
Okay, so what importance does it have that this oil rig was sitting on the ley line? Does that have any importance to us?
Well, I just discovered this. I never really took a look at it before, until briefly before the show, so I don't know. I'm wondering that myself, and I assure you it's something that I'm going to look into further with Sechery, the man who provided me with these maps. And I find it very interesting. I would not be surprised if we find some synchronicities involved in all of this, because this is on this ley line. That's the nature of how this this energy line stuff. And I'm going to just start saying lines, because when I say ley lines, you know, that's people, you know, the people that can't see the forest for the trees, you know.
Well, yeah, if they can't see it, they can't see it. I think I'm going to continue to call it ley lines so they won't think I'm talking about a fault line.
Right, exactly. There you go. You know, ley line. And we're referring to these energy currents that run through. And this is something. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, somebody mentioned in relation to the blue beam, some type of Tesla scalar weapon. It is interesting that these are the lines that Sechery argues that Tesla certainly knew about and tapped into to do his amazing things. So here's a possibility I'll throw out there. What if these blue beams are something that the cameras pick up that it's still an artifact of the camera, but it's caused by the energy flowing through that line? I'm just saying what if, and that's the very first time I've considered that. So I have not fleshed it all out to its logical end. I'm just throwing that out there, you know, to kind of throw a bone to the other camp that there is something more than, you know, meets the eye, you know, going on with this interesting blue artifact that we see in this image. You know, it could be that rather than some scalar weapon beaming down to destroy that rig, what if, for instance, a blast of energy went through that line for some other purpose, and it caused this wellhead to slip off or to do whatever it did to be disrupted. We've been having a lot of interesting earthquake activity, which are associated, you know, or have been, you know, discussed to be associated with these lines. What if, you know, the energy flowing through, or there was a hiccup or some type of burp or something that was shooting through there and popped that wellhead off of there?
Well, now that's an interesting possibility. Walter, I don't know if you caught it, but I've been doing some moving around, moving things around here in the studio, and I created some technical issues that I didn't know I was creating. And what I need to do, and I won't get into all the explanation, but what I need to do is release your telephone line and get you back online. And we'll do it in a matter of seconds. So if you will, just hang up, and we'll get you right back online, okay?
All righty.
All right. All right, folks, and I do apologize for that, but that's the way it goes. And we'll see if we can get Walter right back. Well, let's do this. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to put a little music on for a few seconds, and then we'll have him back, okay?
These windows are shattered. My clothes, they're all tattered.
Okay, we're back. Man, I'll tell you what, Walter, aren't you delighted that I'm not flying a 747 tonight?
I'd be safe with you flying a 747 because that task is a little more serious than working with stuff on the phone, and you would be up to it.
So. I hope you're right, and I'm not going to take the other side of that debate. I'll agree with you on that one. Okay, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. Hello, Walter.
Hello.
Hello. I have a couple questions in this debate you have going here.
Okay.
How long was the video showing the blue beams?
Well, I don't know how long a video these guys have. The video that they put on the internet is a little over 3 minutes.
Okay, and was the blue beam present during the whole time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, from what I've kind of read and researched a little bit about, if there's laser technology, would it actually go for that length of time? I mean, would not it happen within seconds once it hit that methane gas and whatever came out of that well to ignite it, and the beam would not need to last that long?
If it were traditional laser, yeah, I would tend to agree with you based on, you know, what I know about lasers, which is probably not much different than anyone else, but people are arguing that it's more of a scalar weapon, which is a little different than your standard laser as we understand it. So giving you know, a nod to that argument, you know, that some would argue that, well, it's not a traditional laser we're talking about anyway. But if they are talking about traditional laser, I would lean towards what you just said, because you're right. It would be a burst, just a quick little zap. It wouldn't be this steady thing, I don't think.
Well, I'll take the other side of the debate. All the laser weapons that they have tested that we know about that they use to knock down missiles, it's not a few seconds.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they hit it with a laser, and they have to leave that laser on it long enough to heat up. What they actually do is they heat up the warhead and make it explode. and or they heat up its fuel tank and make it explode. So they have to stay focused on it for many seconds. However, not 3 minutes. A scalar weapon is not a beam. It's two. It's two beams. And where those beams intersect, which we would presume in this case would have to be underwater, is where the destruction takes place. Mm-hmm. So
going straight up and down, they don't appear that they would intersect anywhere. For one.
Well, you don't know. After they get underwater far enough down, they may be angled in just enough that they do intersect down at the wellhead.
You know, another thing we did not consider, we didn't even discuss, is the possibility that this was laid in there digitally. And particularly if it comes from the same source, all the video I saw and the video you saw, that question has to be addressed. Did, you know, is this a hoaxed video where they laid these two lines in there?
And the answer is no. CNN also showed video that had the blue beams.
Did they show these guys' video, or did they show...
No, no. It's their video.
Okay.
Now...
that's the issue of the blue beams on their video.
You get just a second or two of that and in their video. You know how they show you just a little bit, and then they move on to something else and move on to something else as they're talking. But they're in there. Okay. Let me give the telephone number out. The telephone number here is 623-444-5889. That will work from anywhere on planet Earth, and probably from Nibiru as well. 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. That works in the USA and Canada. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada and you send me a flash message, I'm not going to read it on the air. I won't even see it, okay? Because we have telephone lines for you, and I'll even pay for your call. But if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free out there, so you can use our flash message feature on the website. We have a flash message from Mike in the United Kingdom. He says, strange show tonight. Walter Bosley is like someone who needs to prove that the blue beams from the oil rig are caused by the cameras. Look closely at the sky when the camera is not directly on the oil rig, and the blue beams get stronger as they go up. But here's the best part. Look closely at the reflection of those blue beams on the ocean. They are reflected on the ocean. Sorry, Walter, you're wrong.
Well, no, I'm not. They are appearing over the reflection that's on the water, so they are somewhat obscured. So it you know, to dare I say an untrained eye, perhaps it looks like it's a reflection on the water. But again, I direct everybody to the video to which I gave the link. And this makes my case better than my words can.
Well, I don't know. I think it makes my case. The fact that they're there proves it's not an artifact, because you're in a completely different lighting situation.
It's an artifact. When you see it, you'll see what I mean.
Walter, you sound like a man who's absolutely certain that he's right.
I am.
Well, you'll be glad to know that you have at least one person on the planet agrees with you, Walter. Andrew in Australia says, I agree with Walter on this, that the beams are camera artifacts. The reason is because of the strongest evidence not discussed so far. If there were beams coming from the sky, the cameraman and the other persons on board would have mentioned them. All right, now, Andrew, I have to burst your bubble. I didn't play the audio from that. In fact, I took the audio out so I could use it on the show tonight. But Walter has it, and they do talk about it. in the audio that's with this video, they do mention, do you see those lights? And so that is not going to be the strongest evidence, because they do talk about it.
Do they say, do you see those blue beams?
Well, no, but if I saw a naked woman walking down the street, I might not say, do you see that blonde that's 5'4", weighs about 124 pounds, built like Marilyn Monroe? I might not do that. I just may say, hey, man, do you see that girl over there?
But we are talking specifically about these very interesting features in the video.
And a naked woman is very interesting. Okay, that's not a good argument. They do say, one guy says to the other, hey man, do you see those lights?
Here's the deal. A picture speaks a thousand words.
And a video speaks a billion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point, too. And the video argues my point better than my words do.
Oh, no, Walter, not at all. I object. I'm like Perry Mason. Your Honor, I object. That line of reasoning is irrational, irrelevant, and inconvenient.
Nope. You know what? What we need is a professional video expert, somebody who works with these cameras professionally.
A professional video analyst, but not a professional video, just a professional person that works with these cameras, because no professional is going to be working with these consumer-grade videos. But if they're a professional analyst, that would be different.
That's what I mean, is a professional who will come in and you know, and unless you find a guy that just wants to, you know, have fun with me, you're going to find that the video analysts are going to agree with me on this.
Oh, I don't think so, Walter. I really don't.
I'm 100% sure.
I'm 100% sure you're wrong. Let's go to the telephone. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Kevin. First of all, I want to thank you for spending time on this when no one else will talk about it.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
The Tesla beam was shooting through the horizon rig. It was shooting at the well way down below the surface. BP tapped into an underground base full of reptilians. The Tesla beam was used to kill them all, just like what happened to Phil Snyder at Dulce.
Now, how do you know that, Tony?
Well, I've been practicing my remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just call it a hunch.
Okay. So you think there was a reptilian base down there under the floor of the ocean?
Yeah, and when BP was drilling, that's what they tapped into. Just like Phil Snyder when he was building underground bases at Dulce, they didn't tell him ahead of time, but they had to come in and kill them all afterwards. He almost got killed himself. Now he is dead.
Okay, so you did remote viewing on this. Was it successful, according to your remote viewing? Did they wipe out this reptilian base?
Yeah, but there's still more reptilians around.
Okay.
They didn't get them all.
All right. So what's next? Are they going to attack? Are they going to say, okay, well, you guys wiped out one of our bases, so now we're going to kick some rear?
Well, I think they're going to let Obama keep polluting the ocean with all the oil from the well, and they want to kill us all off is what the reptilians want.
Okay, so then are you saying that Obama is in league with the reptilians?
Yeah, somebody's giving them orders, and that's who I would guess. Just like in the TV show V, the reptilians are calling all the shots.
Okay, that's an interesting point of view.
Thank you, Kevin.
Would it be surprising to you if I were to tell you that's has to be a controversial point of view?
I'm used to it.
I am, too.
Nobody likes me in the chat room.
Hang in there, buddy. All right. Thanks for the call. Well, as strange as it may sound, it could be true. And the reason that I say that is because in the absence of evidence, all speculation is valid and all speculation is on the table. So, you know, if they want us to know the truth, what they need to do is quit hiding the evidence. And then we'll know the truth. But, you know, Walter, it's a felony now for the reporters to go down there and get close enough to anything to video it or photograph it. $40,000 fine and a year or more in prison. Did you know that?
Yeah. First Amendment there, huh?
Yeah. And I said last night, that's it, folks. The Republic is over. The government just lit a match to the Constitution. I don't want it to be over, and we may can make it so that it comes back. But right now, forget your freedoms and rights. The government has lit a match to the Constitution. And when I said that on the show last night, it ticked off two people, probably more, but two that canceled their memberships today because that was anti-American. You know, if the truth is anti-American, what does that tell you about what they consider to be American? I have to lie to be American? Forget it.
I would say that to the public, that the Republic is over when you all decide you want it to be. If you decide you don't want it to be, it's in your hands.
And that's the point. They can make it come back, but at the moment, it's been announced from D.C. that the First Amendment doesn't matter. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Ray from California. How you doing?
Doing good, Ray. How are you?
All right. How are you, Walter, this evening?
Good.
Yeah, listen, Tony, I think, was the caller just before me,
mm-hmm.
and I was listening to him, and I couldn't help but think that if you guys think back, there was a something on the news about, I believe it was a Chinese father and two daughters were...
Are you willing to hang on through the break? Because we have a break taking over.
You bet, because this is really connecting up with Tony.
Okay. You hang in there. We'll be back to you right after this break. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have on the line with us, Walter, we still have, I hope, Ray from California. Ray, you still with us?
I'm checking in.
Okay. Just start over, because just as you got started, the break took over.
Yeah. Well, Tony had mentioned there was a beam he felt that came from underneath the rig, through the rig and through the air. And...
No, that's not what he was saying.
He didn't? I thought he said that.
No, the beam went through the rig and down into the water and did the explosion under the water because he said it went down into a reptilian base that was underwater.
Okay, I stand corrected. But look at that beam, and then I believe it was about 3 months ago on YouTube, they had a Chinese man on vacation down in South America, and he was filming his daughters in front of one of the pyramids, and he was taking regular photographs. And one of the photographs, I think it was the second one out of three, showed that exact beam coming out of the top of the pyramid just for whatever seconds it was showing.
Mm-hmm. The Mayan pyramid?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've seen that.
I thought, well, maybe, and this is just me saying it, maybe it's coming from underneath going through, and it might be a buried pyramid down there somewhere, and that beam is coming up through the muck, whatever is burying it, if in fact that area has been sunken, especially like around Cuba with that new city they found, and that would be the same circumstance, and it would be coming through like that. So I thought maybe I'd throw that in as food for thought, because it really does look like the same beam. only there's two this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that photograph. In fact, I think I published that in the K-Files. I know I did. Published it in the K-Files a couple of months back, not long after that first came out. Very interesting photograph.
It is. And that's where I found it. I usually go into the K-Files, great source of information. And then, of course, when you hit YouTube, there's all kinds of relative YouTube videos they have. And so,
mm-hmm.
of course, that's where I saw it. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, well, you know, pyramids do put out power. It's a known thing. And so maybe that's what's going on down. Maybe there's a double pyramid of some construction down there that no one knows about. And it had done that just by accident, by releasing the energy. Maybe they had an energy surge of some sort, and it was able to release that. And it was the same thing, and we don't know about that.
Well, it might be. That's an interesting theory. Ray, I want to thank you for the call and for the thought-provoking theory. What do you make of that, Walter?
Barry, it's like you said, it's an interesting theory. Very curious thing, but I still say when I look at the video, we're looking at a diffraction spike.
A diffraction spike?
Yeah, that's a term for, I believe that's the term we're looking for the video artifact that I think we're looking at.
Well, a diffraction spike will cause a starburst. It's like shining a strong headlight or floodlight, spotlight,
okay,
onto someone's glasses, and now everything they look at, they're looking at through a starburst.
And vertical as well, okay. Well, you know, and maybe that's not the right term, but I'm still on the side that it's merely a artifact of the video.
Man, I tell you what, there's no hope for you, Walter. After the masterful debate and the masterful presentation of my side, and you're still not convinced, it's just beyond belief. Let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington.
Yes, Ryan.
Well, it's been a really good show tonight.
Thank you.
You're the only place you can get where anybody's talking about this. When they talk about it on CNN, they only do it in about 10-second sound bites, and they don't even discuss it. They just...
Well, of course, Lindsay Lohan's 90 days in jail is far more important than the BP oil spill.
Yeah. The rest of the country now is sitting around glued to the hearing about LeBron James's new contract bid that he got.
Oh, well, I'm so proud for him.
But
LeBron who?
Yeah, LeBron what?
I got to tell you, it's getting worse and worse. It's getting absolutely, it's just completely, thank God for shows like yours. But I'm tending to lean towards Walter's explanation, but the only thing I wanted to, was wondering was, I never heard about anything when the rig... How did the rig end up being sunk? You know there was a fire, but how did the thing collapse?
It's not a collapse. It was a floating rig. In other words, it's a boat. It's a boat, and it sank.
Mm-hmm. Two large hulls that mm-hmm. were under the surface.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I was curious about that because I know that nobody ever really talked about okay, well, that answers my question.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the main number here. And then if you need to call me toll-free in the USA or Canada, you can do so. 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message option on my website. My website is at kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, you got to browse the channels a little more. There is some things on there about that. it's starting to hit the fire. People ain't putting up with the hoo-ha anymore.
The hoo-ha?
Except for Tiger Woods, though. You heard about that $700 million his wife got?
No, but that's a pittance.
Yeah.
If that had been you or me, she would have gotten more than 50%. So that's a pittance. She should have gotten at least $1 billion out of his multiple billions. But what about the BP oil rig? Who was most convincing to you tonight? Walter or Kevin with his masterful presentation?
You got a pretty good insight on it. You both have good points.
You'd make a good politician, Terry.
The thing I want to talk about is, what the president's doing about it.
No. We're going to stick with the oil rig and the blue beams, okay?
Oh, the blue beams?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't think we was really taking that seriously.
Well, how could we not take it seriously when I spent the whole first hour on it?
Yeah, but I guess it's like that thing that we see, that blue beam we've seen over, and then is it real or isn't it real? I think it's they say they have like 20 oil rigs that has faulty designs like that one does. And they're talking about shutting them all down instead of at least shutting down at least the 20 that's designed the same way as them.
Yeah, but what about the blue beams? That's what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know what to say about them.
Okay. All right, Terry. thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. He'd be a good politician, Walter. We were both right.
Yeah.
And what a perfect world where everyone is right. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike. Are you a politician?
I'm staying out of it. All I'm going to say is, to me, how do we know that those beams were not being projected up like emergency lights on the platform that were sending a signal upward?
Well, if they are, I mean, we didn't say what is it. We really are focused on, are they really there? Or, as Walter maintains, is it an artifact of the video? So I don't know if they're moving, going up or coming down, but my side of the argument is whichever way they're going, they're really there.
Yeah, well, it also it does look like they're there, but at the same time, it also looks like it could be a lens flare.
No, it cannot be a lens flare.
Looking at the camera from the inside, you see that there's a glass between it, and you can see light bouncing off of that from the inside.
You're talking about Walter's video that nobody saw.
No, I was watching the video you were showing.
Okay, it was that video was not from the inside. It was from the deck of a ship.
Well, I could still see a reflection.
Could you?
And, regardless, if there are what appears to be beams, and we know that there's blue LED lights now, and if those things had blue LED spotlights on them, they were sending beams upward. That might explain how come they stayed on so long. But normally a scalar weapon, as you said, they cross, and they also set the atmosphere on fire and burn up the oxygen. That's what they were designed for. They were a weapon of war.
Yeah, but we're not saying whether it's a scalar weapon or not. That's not even under discussion. The discussion is, are they really there, or is it an artifact?
Like I said, I'm not going to get between you two.
No, that's what the show's about. You have to. We set up this fight so you could get in it.
I'm not a politician. I'm non-aggressive. You two can go at it all night for all I care.
Okay, so you don't even vote, huh?
Just a minute.
You don't even vote for, like, when the presidential election comes up?
I do vote.
Oh, I see. So there are things that you will make a decision about.
The important thing is that the oil spill happened.
Well, there are many important things. And if the oil spill is important, and if these things are actually there, then they, instead of being an artifact, then they are important to the oil spill, are they not?
I can't say.
Okay. Two politicians in a row. I didn't think Kentucky had politicians. I thought Kentucky had people that made decisions and did things, and, you know, did things like going to the Alamo and making a stand at the Alamo and stuff like that. But I guess Kentucky's changed, huh?
No, we have our days.
Mike, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599 if you need to call me toll-free. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message option. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yes, thank you.
All right, you hang on, and as soon as this upcoming break is over, we'll bring you up online first thing. And, Walter, how are you weathering the storm?
Good.
Okay. Hang in there. You may win. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Walter Bosley. And for those of you who tuned in late, Walter formerly has served as U.S. Air Force OSI Special Agent and was Chief of a Counterintelligence Unit. I like to bring Walter in for discussions of this sort, as we're discussing tonight, about these beams of light over the BP oil rig down in the Gulf. And he took the position that those are artifacts of the video. Everyone can be wrong sometime. I took the position opposite him, and well, everyone can be wrong sometime. Which one of us is wrong? Which one of us is right? Are those beams of light, or are they artifacts of the video? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Walter. It's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
I'm going to be siding with Walter on this one.
Oh.
I think what that is a charge, a CCD charge saturation. And on, if you remember the Gulf War I pictures where they were launching the cruise missiles at night from the ships, and you'd see this great big white streak as the missile would be going off diagonally, but there'd be this horizontal streak. And that is the same effect on a 3CCD camera. What I noticed here was that the blue beams are exactly the complementary color of the flames. So if you're watching on a vectorscope, you'd see the flames going immediately opposite in direction to the blue beams. And the way a modern camera gets around that now, they have what's called an overflow drain. And between when the CCD is clocked out and when it captures its next image, it's drained. There's a drain clocking that takes away that excess charge, so you won't see that on a professional camera anymore like you did in Gulf War I.
Now, you see, that was very sensible. Walter, why couldn't you come up with something sensible like that?
That's why I asked for someone who knew the lingo, and he arrived, thank goodness, within the last 9 minutes.
If he had not ridden in to your rescue, I got to tell you, you didn't stand a chance.
There you go.
Brian, do you work with cameras?
Well, I did, yes. I used to work for the CBC for a number of years as a video op and cameraman.
Okay, so your testimony about that is well informed. And now, see, I have to think about this. We don't have time for further debate. But I can assure you, Brian, I could come up with something that would counter that.
Well, I'll send you the link. There's a number of links on the Internet, Kevin, and I'll send you one on your contact page, and then you can sort of... It's very nice. It's simple diagrams and for non-technical people, and it'll explain it all.
What are you trying to say when you say non-technical people? What are you inferring about me?
Well, that's...
Don't sweat it, Brian. It's cool.
I talk about CMOS chips and stuff like that. People who are not into it don't know what CMOS, complementary metal oxide, or people don't know the lingo. So sometimes I get carried away and don't realize I'm speaking to a general audience.
Okay. Well, Brian from Burnaby, thank you for the call. Very informative.
Okay.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Okay. Well, see, Walter, you had a champion ride to your rescue. And he says that it is an artifact, but you see, I have to say, I was correct when I said it's not a lens flare.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
Can't you give me a little more than that?
The cream rises to the top sometimes. It just takes a while.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, oh, incredible show. If you missed a couple seconds of it, you're out of the loop. It was pretty cool. I just wanted to say my two cents on it, and then I guess I'll hang up. It's towards the end of the show.
Okay.
I don't know the exact technical nature of it, but I kind of think that Kevin won the debate and Walter was more right. I'll leave it.
Bob, you're in California, and you're perfect for California politics. That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. So I won the debate, and Walter was right. No losers here. Oh, my. Well, it has been fun, Walter. I've done some debates like this over the years, but it's been a long time, and I don't think I've ever done one with you, have I?
No, and I admit it. I'm not good at debate, clearly.
No, you're not.
I'll take being right over winning a debate any day, but
oh, I see.
I should probably get better at debating.
Well, Walter, look, here's the deal. I'm going to concede that more votes came in for you than came in for me, so I'm going to concede the debate to you. Although you're wrong, I'll concede the debate to you, and let's give you some applause for that. So... It's really, I think, important. All kidding aside, this is the sort of thing that's really important if we're going to have the material that it takes for us to think about these things. You go on the Internet and you see this video, and then you see it posted in forums, and you see all kinds of wild statements about it, both on Walter's side of the debate and on my side. On both sides, you see all kinds of wild claims and people just frothing at the mouth and getting all bent out of shape, but you don't really see a lot of evidence and facts for either side. And so I think, and I hope our audience thinks this way, and I hope you have an appreciation for this, that the way you get at the truth is to go at it like we went at it, and you examine it and ask questions and get comments and get people thinking and talking, and then you've got enough stuff on the table that you can sort it out in your own mind and decide whether you think it's A or B. But you can't do that if you don't have enough of the evidence. It's impossible to do it if all you're dealing with is speculation. What do you think, Walter?
Right.
That's it? That's all you can say about it?
Yes. No. I agree with you. You have to you've got to dig in. You have to jump in and immerse yourself in everything that's there so that you can better decide where you stand on something, but also to get the truest feel for the facts. That's the best way you're going to get at the truth. You can't be just kind of a bystander, really, and get at the truth.
You mean like Mike over in Kentucky?
You have to be a participant.
Like Mike in Kentucky, a bystander? Well, he called in, so he's not a bystander. But let's see, it was Mike and who else? Somebody else called in. Both of us were right. There's no way to decide which one was right and which one was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, I appreciate you being with us, and just stay on the line with me for a moment.
Sure.
And, boy, I'll tell you what, this has been fun, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope we provided you with a lot of things to think about. Which side of the fence do I come down on? Me personally. Well, you'll never know. But you know which side I debated. And you heard Walter's side, and you heard me take the other side. And you've got now enough of the building blocks to put together the picture. Enough of the pieces to put together the picture, I think, and come up with what you think is the truth. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.